Let's do it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was the best start of that song.
It's pretty good.
I was shocked. I was looking at you like, wow.
We were actually singing.
We put our heart into that time instead of just some like, whatever, here we go.
That's pretty good. Hey, you know what this is, Josh?
It's a beer episode.
It's a beer episode. I can't pronounce either of these beers.
You want me to try?
Lara got both of these for me. Yes, I want you to try.
Mapahoyo. Mapoyo.
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 It's we're just gonna have to put it.
Yeah.
It's Russian or.
And it's got one of those fancy, like ceramic tops.
That yeah.
It automatically tells you that it's good no
like
matter Grolsch, what it is.
You know, has yep. those the stones at yep. the top.
You could put sewer water in one of those, and it's like as long as it has the fancy cap, you're like, ooh, that's probably good.
That's right. It's not very high alcohol content, only 4.5%. I can't read any. It says premium lager beer, classical composition with the taste.
Where did she
of
get it
bitter
from?
Hop. It's from.
She found it on the
it's
way.
From Russia.
Well,
it's
I mean,
brewed and bottled in Tver, Russia. Wow, interesting.
I've never had a Russian beer.
Afanasy Marochnoye. Afanasy Marochnoye. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Nice.
That sounded nice, didn't it?
Nice.
For you. Larry Morgan and Sam Farmer.
Oh, my stomach's rumbling just listening to that.
Are on assignment. There you go.
It's got a very...
lagery?
Yeah, pilsnerish.
Pilsnerish.
Color. It's not too golden and not too ungolden, for lack of a better term.
Spoken like a sommelier.
It's not too gold, not too ungold.
Here's to you.
All right, cheers.
Dos Vidalia.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's really good. It's light. It's not in your face at all. I mean, this is...
No, it's a little earthy, but it's...
You know what this tastes like? Like a really good, bad American beer. You know what I mean? Like a really good... Coors or something, really good Budweiser.
Like if you had some Black Label, some Blats.
But I mean, it's good. It tastes like
really well made.
This is what I bet you. What this is what like Budweiser should taste like.
You know the crazy thing about Budweiser is, around the world, people love Budweiser.
I know.
You go to other countries and they drink it and like it.
Well, you know,
it's an import beer there.
There's a was it like Czechoslovakia or Sweden or something? Like Budweiser, I think, stole the name Budweiser from another company. And if you go to like England, they have Budweiser and it comes.
The Budweiss.
Yeah, it comes from Czechoslovakia or something. And it's like a completely different recipe, but it has the same kind of label and everything, but it's not the Anheuser-Busch Budweiser.
Yeah, there's a Czech Republic beer, Staropramen, that you'll see a lot in British pubs and so forth. I think it tastes a lot like Budweiser. But yeah, people really like it. And I don't mind Budweiser. I think people are snobby about it here.
You know what? It's not bad tasting, but you want to talk about just a headache. Seriously. I remember one time I was like, you know what? My buddy had gave me a Budweiser like the night before, it was the same thing. I was like, you know what? This shit's got a bad rap. It's not that bad tasting. So the next night, I'm like, I'm getting buzzed on Budweiser. So I went out and bought like a six-pack of it and pre-game before we went out and drank like a sixer of Bud. I woke up the next morning, and it was like my head was in a vice. And I was like, never again. Because they put so many chemicals and so much preservatives in that crap. I had a friend that went over to Germany one time during Oktoberfest, right?
Right.
And he told me this story, and I was like, I have to do this. So he went over, and it was during Oktoberfest, and they have these tours that you can go on, like a biking tour, and you rent a bike, and then somebody, like a tour guide, will take you, and they'll take you to all these beer gardens.
Oh, fun.
And you just ride around all day not all day, but he's like, you start at like 10 a.m. and end at like, 2 p.m. or something like that, and then he's like, you'll just go drink all this amazing beer, and it's like, okay, buddy, we're gonna go hop through another bar, and then he's like, about three stops later, you're just hammered, and then they take you to a restaurant, and you eat like the big, greasy German food, and then you go back to another bar. He said he doesn't remember the end of the tour. All he did is remember is he woke up with his clothes on in his bed, and he felt amazing. He wasn't hungover because all the beer he was drinking was fresh and didn't have all that.
Reinheitsgebot.
What's that
German purity law of 1614 that says that beer must be made from only...
Did you pull that year out of your ass?
The year I did. I wonder what year it was.
I'm like, you got too detailed right there. You went a step too far. I'm like, there's no way you know 1614.
You can't fool the master. Let me see what year. What did I say, 1614?
1614.
All right, let's see what year it is.
They don't have like
1516.
You went the wrong way.
I was pretty close.
You're close.
It sounded good. It was really believable. And then you, thanks for putting a hole in that, Josh.
Hey, guess what we got yesterday?
Well, I know what you got.
No, we'll save that for a bit. But guess what? Owen got yesterday for his birthday.
What? Oh, that's right. His birthday was just yesterday.
It was Thursday. But
oh, okay, you celebrated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we
on just, the weekend.
Exactly. We had a birthday weekend. We got a hamster.
And
guess what I found out about hamsters?
They like to fuck?
They are nocturnal.
Oh, yes.
Little son of a bitch. So we got this cage that has this like a foot and a half cylindrical tube that he can climb up in and then run. Like
a habit trail. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but it's this big thing.
Sure.
Well, she got a like a pebble in it and then ran all night. So I just
got a piece of kibble in there.
Yeah, and just went all night. I climbed up, went to bed, and I had to close Owen's door because it was so loud. And he slept in our bed. I'm like, we got to move the hamster to the living room or something like that. And her name is Hammy.
Hammy, I love it.
Owen's got mad naming skills. He's got his first teddy bear in a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. He's named Elmo. And I tried, you know, showed him a picture of the real Elmo, and he's like, "No, this is
Elmo." This is Elmo.
Then he got a bear, another bear, and his name is Barry.
I love Barry.
And we got Hammy the hamster,
sure.
And then we got a goat. Can you guess?
Is it Goaty?
Yes. And then
a stuffed goat.
And then my personal favorite, a turtle.
Turdy.
Sydney's like, don't you mean turtly? And he's like, no, turdy, it's turdy, mommy. All right, we're just gonna leave that one home for tonight. Turdy.
I want turdy. That's great. I love it.
What's new?
What was I gonna say a second ago?
Were we talking about German beer laws?
No.
Or were we talking about the hamster?
A hamster. I had a hamster when I was little.
Yeah.
And what they don't tell you is that hamsters are not a healthy lot. They
only last like 2 years, right?
Yeah, not even.
Hopefully my child is not listening to this right now.
My hamster got a big... Oh, God, if your kid's listening. And my hamster got a big sore on her side. What? It was cancer, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a big nasty thing. Anyway, before that ever happened, I had good naming skills. I named mine... well, we had two at the time. And so we named them after our parents, Joe and Frida. Joe passed away earlier, widowed Frida.
Yeah.
And actually, much like in life.
Did Frida wear black for a long time?
No, she just went on eating her kibble.
Yeah.
You got to, the teeth grow up in your brain. Anyway, so Frida was alone for quite some time, but she... of course, they're nocturnal. This was 19... What's going on here?
Andy's getting a phone call. You want to go ahead and answer that?
No, I don't want to deal with that.
I can tell.
What's happening?
Oh, you know what we should do if we want? You mentioned...
We got to test the phone line.
I was going to say, we can call my wife.
Oh, yeah. I told Laura she might get a phone call,
too. All right,
okay.
Well, whatever.
Maybe we'll call both our wives.
All right, at the same time. Just let them talk. We'll just sit here. We'll go get a beer somewhere. Let them do the podcast for once.
Oh, God. I'm terrified of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a horrible idea. Now I think about it.
Anyway, so we had Frida, the hamster, and she was in the hallway. Because it was, it was a pretty small house to begin with, but... there wasn't much place to put it, so there was like a desk in the hallway, and we had it up on the desk. And she had a little habit trail and so forth. And it was far enough away from our bedrooms that, we could sleep.
Right.
Well, do you remember, are you old enough to remember the the Pepsi commercials, the Pepsi generation commercials around 1979, 80, I want to say. Where
tell me about, let's describe it.
There, it was just a this pastiche of American scenes. Like one of the scenes is a little boy who's playing and a bunch of puppies are jumping all over him. There's these white puppies and he's out.
Is that a Dr. Pepper commercial?
No,
is that
the it was Pepsi.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this the one where they always turn and look right at the camera or something and they're like, oh, and they hold a can of Pepsi right at the camera and then it freezes and they're like.
And it wasn't so much that. It was just, you know, here's
it's all American.
Yes. Your life is complete because Pepsi is part of the fabric of ours.
Which is a fact.
Well, that commercial had just been out like, in the last year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I am laying in bed and I remember dreaming that. And feeling those puppies all over me.
You're dreaming right? A Pepsi commercial.
Yeah. You know, I'm 10.
Worst dream ever.
I'm like 10 years old, and I'm dreaming that, you know, these puppies are on my face and so forth.
Right, okay.
Then I start to wake up a little bit, and I start to realize, wait, there's something, like I have the cover up over my head, and there's something on the cover. What's going on? And I jump up. It's Frida.
Is she running around your
hamster.
Face?
Yes, and darted to the end of the bed, and then got down on the floor. I'm like, oh, no. So I'm down on all fours,
hands and knees, the middle of the night?
Middle of the night, two, 3 in the morning, uh-huh. And I'm crawling out of my room because I think it's gone down the hallway. I go into my parents' room because they're the next room, down, and I'm down on the floor. So my dad wakes up.
Your dad's excited. You're crawling around.
My dad wakes up. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm looking for my hamster. He's like, you're what? I said, I'm looking for my hamster. And he said, God damn it, Frida, you got to get up. He's out of his mind. He's sleepwalking. And so my mom gets up, and she goes, what's going on? I said, the hamster was out of the cage, and it was up on me in my bed. That hamster from the hallway got out of the cage, crawled down the phone line or something, because the phone was hanging right by the.
Well, they got like little claws, so they're good climbers.
Got all the way down to the floor, went all the way down the hall, found my bedroom, climbed up on my bed somehow, and got up on me. It found me in the middle of the night.
It found your face.
Isn't that awesome?
That is crazy.
And so we find it, eventually get it and put it back away. But yeah, and I told my mom later, I was having that dream from that Pepsi commercial. Those puppies were up on me, and it was a hamster instead.
Yeah, I had we brought Hammy home in a box. And sure enough, within 5 minutes, it crapped right. It chewed through the box and crapped on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have a very a rough time with animal poop. Yeah. My dog pooped on me a couple times.
I think Hammy will not last more than 6 months.
What? So, jeez.
I
talk
don't
about
know.
Kiss of death.
No, I just mean, I don't think they're hardy.
I'll let Owen know. Hey, guess what Andy said?
Well, that's what I'm just, gird your loins.
They're like two,
prepare
said
yourself.
Like a year or two.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Good for you.
6 months. All right. Well, should we put this on the calendar?
I'm not wishing it on the animal.
Hey, everybody write in with your over and under.
Doing those grids?
Yeah, exactly. Buy a square on Hammy. Hammy Deadpool.
Hammy square. You also made another purchase yesterday. We got the... do you want a little more beer?
Yeah. Well, okay, let's... I'm sure everybody in the world is so tired of hearing about this, so we're going to do it, and then... thank you.
Then not mention it
again.
And then
we'll post a picture when it's done, and then that's it. We'll never talk of this again. But I had I was totally convinced I was gonna get the same workbench as Andy. That I even last time
the Seville
time,
Classics.
Yes, the last time we were here, I said, hey, if I order this because I won't be home, and my front door is like out on a
you
busy street.
You could definitely have it delivered here.
Yeah, so sure. I said, can I have it delivered? And he said, yeah. So that was kind of what it was at. And I was right about kind of to order it when a listener reached out on Facebook, Scott Gerber.
On your remember? Artificial friends?
Facebook? But he reached out to my page. Not the
oh, I see.
And do you remember I think he's the pumpkin carving guy.
Oh, right. Guy that came in on Mark in the morning and carved pumpkins. Sure.
Well, he sent me this little kind of DIY internet page that had the cutting list, had all the specs, and a video how to do it. And I was like, and it said you could do this in a morning. and I looked at it, and it was everything that I wanted, and then I could tweak it how I wanted. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't have to follow the exact directions.
Sure.
Which I'm probably not going to do, but... So I went out yesterday, and with all... Here's my reasoning. So the Seville Classic was like $220?
Something like that, yeah.
So, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I added up all the price of all the wood and all the screws, and then I was like, and that came to be like $100. And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm gonna need some things. So, because I'm gonna need saw horses. I added that into it. And I'm like, I'm gonna need a new level. I'm gonna need a new level. I'm gonna need a T square. I'm gonna need just a. I gotta buy the a light that I'm gonna put onto it and power strip. Whole bunch of other stuff. I got everything for $166. So I saved $55.
Yeah.
So I can go blow that on something else.
Nice.
But I didn't. And it said. Remember, I asked you if I could use a miter saw.
Yeah, my chop saw.
Yeah, I don't think I need it.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I just one.
You're gonna use a hand saw? You got a hand?
Well, no, I have a circular saw, but I don't know
why.
Well,
sure, you could totally do it with that.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking. Yeah, but I was thinking it's going to cut angles.
You can set the circular saw to cut angles.
Right, but I'm saying I think they were just saying a miter saw, so you just cut straight down.
Right. Yeah, a chop saw. It makes it easy to cut things to the same length and so forth. But it's not imperative.
Right.
Do you have clamps?
No, but I don't think I really need it.
Okay, well, because it makes it easier to cut things to the same length, but...
I'm gonna measure and everything. I'll be good. I was just gonna measure them all at the same time and do like the four boards anyway, all that stuff.
I'm excited for you. When's this gonna happen?
Right, that's why I'm wearing these crappy
sound
shirts. I can't wait to get out of here. Now I'm going home, immediately moving the car, and I'm just gonna start sawing and working all day, and it should be done probably tonight. Definitely tonight.
Nice. Well, I'm
got everything already.
For
I just need
venture.
To stop and get some more wood screws over at Anna Walt over here on the way home, because it didn't tell you how many screws you're looking at. And I was watching the video, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need a lot more than like I think I bought like two boxes of 20. I'm like, I think I need probably like
you want more than that.
Yeah, because I was going to do like three per joint, and you know, just make sure it's sturdy and everything. But
nice.
But anyway, he Scott Gerber, he told me he built his. He's like, this thing's so, super sturdy. You could put an engine on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I bought sanded plywood, so the top will be like smooth and you know,
nice.
Won't get any splinters.
Birch plywood.
So I buy all this crap, right?
Uh-huh.
Try loading this shit in my car, my 4Runner. Everything fit except the 8 foot by, was it 4 foot?
4x8 flat plywood?
Flat plywood. Yeah. I got it in, but there was a 1 inch between the end of the board and my windshield. And I was like trying to figure out if I could drive with my head like mashed down. And I'm like, I'll die this way. So I had to go in and get it cut there just so I could fit in the car.
Right.
So he cut the spec. But one of the things that I noticed is, so have you ever seen them cut? Cut at like Osh or something like
sure.
that. They have that big
table.
Yeah, except actually this one was like sideways. You
right.
know what I mean? So he lays it in there and I'm watching him mark off where to cut. And he measures 6 foot, right? On this one, puts a little line. Then he puts like a little triangle on it. And I thought, and later on I was just thinking about it. I'm like, why did he do that? Why did he do, it's like the mark is in the middle and then he puts two lines at an angle to the side of it. And I'm like, why did he do that? So it was bugging the hell out of me last night. So I searched wood cutting. I don't know. I searched something on Google, right? And it took me to an article about measurements and precise measurements on wood cutting on wood.com. And I immediately thought, how the hell does this guy still own the website wood.com? I mean, in this day and age, how much money has he been offered by porn sites for wood.com? And he's turned it down. He's
turned
in love
down.
With wood.
He's a purist.
Seriously, wood.com is about wood. You can go there, people. Wood.com.
And what was the answer?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I mean, my brain started immediately switched. I was like, hey, Cindy, do you believe wood.com is not a porn site?
Now, wood.org.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm like a cockroach.
Wood.co.
Go from one thing to the other.
Oh, heavens.
So you had a big day this yesterday. And was it the whole weekend or just yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I went to the Doheny Blues Festival.
Yeah.
And hung out down there. My God, it was so cool. going around there. I couldn't walk down the midway of the place without being accosted by so many sound listeners
yeah.
that had found 88.5
nice.
And were coming up to me and saying, I love the station. Great to see you. It was really, really fun. I mean, it was like a family reunion. It was really good. The whole day and people coming up to the booth and so forth. I had a ball there.
Any yaffers?
There were a couple of yaffers.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. A couple of artificial friends showed up and said howdy.
Nice.
Aaron showed up.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Al. I saw him. He posted he was on Facebook that he was there.
Yeah, he showed up, and it was fun to see him. He actually won tickets from 88.5 FM. See, they...
Oh, what a coincidence, right?
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. He made a donation during the pledge drive, right? And everybody that makes a donation is in a drawing. They send me, like, the office. I'd never told them I know him.
Uh-huh.
They, from the office that handles the pledge drive, they send me a list. They, would you mind reading these names of the people that won the different sweepstakes?
Right.
I'm like, well, sure. And I look down, I'm like, you son of a bitch. You got to be kidding me. He won? And they had no idea that I knew him.
Did you recognize any other ones? Any other sound listeners?
I recognized another name or two, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It was really cool. But, yeah, so... there's no way I had anything to do with that.
Sure.
But he ended up winning the some tickets to go see the thing.
Oh,
so it was fun
him.
To see him down there.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
And anyway, it was amazing. Did some stage announcements
down
there.
Who was there? What bands?
I introduced Anders Osborne, who's a Americana roots rock guy from Louisiana.
All right.
Really good. Introduced him. And I introduced Larkin Poe. They're it's two girls. They're
is that the
sisters.
Modern day Captain and Dino.
They're sisters. They're pretty cute and they're really good. Somebody called them. One of them plays. They stand up. She plays a lap steel, but it's like, you know, she has a strap and just like stands.
Oh,
up
really?
There. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
They're badass and they sound great. They sing well together. And somebody called them the younger sisters of the Allman Brothers or something.
Oh.
You know, they're really, really good. So did that. And then introduced Blues Traveler.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How were they?
Did a little stage announcement before their gig. Really good. Sounded great. Have you ever seen them?
No.
It's a jam band. Yeah. They were like one of the first jam to bring that back in the 90s where they just bring, you know, they weave one song into another and so forth.
I got a thing that when you lose an original member of the band,
Sheehan?
Yeah, I think, well, didn't the singer die?
No.
Or maybe I'm thinking, I thought the singer died.
No, that's John Popper.
Yeah, isn't he dead?
No.
Okay, never mind then.
No,
he was
morbidly obese. He was very, very big and
maybe I'm mixing him up with like Blind Melon or something. I thought he died a while ago. All right, never mind. Sorry, Snooze Traveler.
No, they sounded fantastic. And he had come into Channel 103.1 like 20 years ago, and you know, was like as far away from me as you, just blowing Saint Stephen and stuff. He's really talented, but anyway. Did that one, and then my final stage intro was for George Thorogood. But before that, I go backstage and I talk to him, and it's like the fourth time I've sat down with him. He's the nicest guy.
You want to get him going? Say baseball.
Oh yeah,
and Mets. He will talk your ear off for 2 hours about baseball.
He's a Mets fan.
He came in to do a.
My turn?
My turn one time, and usually those took like 20 minutes to record. He was in for like 3.5 hours, and he was in there I came walking in one time just to check up on him, like, is everything okay? And he was in there, wasn't even near the mic, and he had like this a guitar that he found somewhere and was playing songs to just the producer. Him and Bill Latour were back there. And Bill's just sitting in his chair watching him play, and George Thorogood's just rocking out by himself.
Awesome.
And then he's like, all right, let's do another one. And then he records something for 5 seconds, then he'd get up and start bouncing off the walls again. He's a great guy. I remember walking him out, and he told me like 6 stories on the way to the door.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's super, super cool.
We're walking in to do the interview, right? And there's a group of people outside of his trailer, And you know, a woman turns around and goes, "What? Oh, what's this? Is this a radio interview?" And Bonnie, who works at the station, said, "Yeah." She goes, "What station?" And she said, 88.5 FM. She goes, "I love that station." And she gets up and she goes, "I love the 60s at 6 and all that." I'm like, "Oh, well, that's my gig. I'm Andy. I do the afternoon." She goes, "Oh my God, I love it. I love listening to the station. And you were at 100.3 The Sound. We love that station. We're so sad." It's like going on and on and on.
Right,
comes
right.
in, sits in when we do the interview, nicest people on the planet. And then afterward, come out and talk to their daughters. And one of their daughters has, like teenagers, has a playlist on her phone of songs based on the 60s at 6, like My Back Pages. And I'm like, what's going on?
Wow.
They're just the nicest, nicest,
well, that's
nicest
cool.
people.
That's
yeah,
good.
It was really, really fun.
It's a two-day thing, right?
It is.
Is it Saturday, Sunday, or Friday,
It is. I have had a promise of some things that we're doing with the boy today. So
right.
I remember parent first.
I was down there last year with the sound, and I couldn't remember if it was
Two days.
Friday, Saturday, or Saturday.
Today is the day. Yesterday was all the bands I mentioned plus Jimmy Vaughn and
did you meet Jimmy Vaughn?
Trying to think who else. I saw him backstage. Didn't bother me. He was in a conversation. But then today is Eric Burden and the Animals. And Buddy Guy, and I'm trying to think who else. Beth Hart, I guess today.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a great event, and really neat that you know the sound's no more. We were associated with it for those years. Now it's 88.5's gig, so that's cool. Complicating things though. Maybe should we get another beer?
Absolutely, I'm done with mine. You want to read off the set?
This, you want to read this?
Pivo, Polish, literally there's three words on the label. Pivo, Polish lager.
Oh, I thought that was Polish lager. Manufaktura.
Now, where did
Piwna? Piwna? Piwna?
Whatever you say.
Where
did she actually purchase these
Jablanovo.
Jablanovo.
You know what? I think I do know where she got this.
Did I ever tell you we had a Polish exchange student?
No.
As a kid. Yep, a girl. Yep, she was like 16. We had a Polish exchange student, Julita Jankowski. We had her for two years.
Witak Polska.
Yep. Hairy armpits.
Nice.
She's a nice girl. She had hairy armpits.
So did Pollock. Cole.
her name was Yulita, and I had a friend that used to call her 2 liter.
That's not nice.
It's just he couldn't say Yulita, so he just say 2 liter. Where's 2 liter? I'm sorry, I'm a terrible person. I just like to apologize.
Lots of class there in Butler, PA.
Apologize to America for being existent.
This is why we're hated around the country, around the world.
All right.
Okay, so this is, I should read what this is, what kind of beer. It's a product of Poland.
It's a lager.
Yeah, the Polish lager. 5.2% alcohol.
And it's a little darker,
right?
Darker.
It's got a little amber to it.
Salute. Ooh. Ooh. That's a little bit more flowery, right?
Yeah, and it's smoother. It's almost like a Boddington kind of, you know, like a cream.
Boddingtons.
A creamy top to it.
I think I like this one better.
That's interesting.
You know what? You know what would be good? If you got like 6 of these and 6 of the other ones and then just drank one and the other and then go back to the back and forth all day.
You know, this one is so, not flat, but it's so
It's like
so
back
smooth.
Of the tongue. Yeah,
yeah.
But you get that back of the tongue.
It's so
thing.
Smooth, and the other one is you know, a little sharper with the Pilsner taste to it. And so it's kind of like going from the swimming pool to the hot tub and back and forth.
This, does it taste flowery to you? It tastes like how flowers smell.
No, not to me.
Really?
I don't get that.
Maybe it's a Laurel Yanni thing. Which I still haven't listened to. Have you done that stupid thing yet?
What?
The Laurel Yanni thing?
No, what's that?
Are you serious? You don't...
No! Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Have you done it?
There's a sound bite that's been a meme that's gone around.
It's the audio version of the dress.
Of the dress that was either black or blue. Or silver or blue,
yeah,
whatever.
Gold or blue.
Gold or blue. Yeah. And no, I haven't seen it. All I saw was Marley Matlin's post about it.
What?
That was widely retweeted. She's like, was it Laurel or Yanni? I don't know. I can't hear shit.
You know, I could care less. I haven't heard yet, and I just don't care. Two things I don't care about, the royal wedding and the Laurel Yanni.
Two things I don't care about, tits on a man.
Seriously, we were in a hotel, and because when was the wedding? Was it Saturday?
It was yesterday morning, yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday morning.
Yeah, so we went to Disneyland on Friday and then stayed in a hotel that night down there and woke up in the morning. I had no idea. To turn it on, and it was right, just as I turned it on, it was the wedding stuff. My wife's like, ooh, let's watch. And I'm like, I forced myself to go to the bathroom so I could get out of the room and not watch it. Yep. It's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom because I don't want to. I mean, no offense to them. Get married. Good. Have fun.
Laura was pretty jazzed about it, too. Well, here's the thing that makes
Here's
the thing that makes it significant this time.
Okay. But he's the younger brother, right? He's the younger of the two princes.
Yes.
So he's not going to be king.
No.
He's always going to be second guy.
No. No. But you're missing, I think, probably the biggest takeaway
from
this.
Okay, sorry.
It's... A black girl from Los Angeles just became a princess.
Yeah.
It's the royalty, the royal family, unclenching their butts enough to be more inclusive and say that... And she's a divorcee as well.
So a powerless monarchy I give a shit about now.
No, I'm just saying it's...
I'm just saying I don't care. I don't really care about the whole...
It's a head of state for a major...
Are they a head of state, though?
Yeah, they're the head of state.
Well, isn't the prime minister the head of state?
No.
They don't have any political
say. The prime minister does have to meet with them on a regular basis and take their counsel.
BFD. I mean,
that's part of their charter.
Yeah, but if he's like, whatever, I don't care what you have to say.
He isn't bound to do those things. But and yes, the power of the monarchy is much diminished from where it was even in mid-century.
But, I don't think they have any... political power other than they have the ear of the prime minister.
They have the ear of the prime minister, and there is a great deal that... Didn't you watch The Crown?
You know what, though? No.
Jesus.
No, I told there, you I don't watch TV.
There are things that the monarchy can do to facilitate political ends around the world.
I think it's more of a I hate weddings type thing.
Well, that's probably...
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't even like going to my friends, the people that I like wedding.
Now Josh Fligger didn't appreciate the royal wedding. Knocked me over with a fucking feather. Not surprised.
Two things I don't like: Budweiser and a royal wedding.
You would think you'd like one or the other.
And Laurel and Yanni.
One or the other, you would think would be your bag.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't see the there seems to be an unhealthy obsession with it. Like, who gives a shit? I mean, am I wrong?
Well,
it seems people really care way too much over it.
I'm going to overgeneralize and say that I think women care more about it, but it's a fairy tale sort of thing. It's it's an actual princess.
Did you see what the queen wore?
Wasn't it like orange or something?
It was like pea soup green.
Oh, green.
And I was just like, the 30 seconds that I saw, they cut to her and I went to my wife. I'm like, what the hell is she wearing? I mean, this is like... I guess the biggest wedding in like the last 20 years or whatever, and she's wearing like a pea green suit. It was terrible. I just didn't understand. If you're gonna look, if you're the queen, shouldn't you look like regal and not wearing something pea green? The entire thing was pea green.
Maybe she was intentionally trying to look.
She looked like
dowdy to let the future princess. Shine.
You know what, though? His suit, he looked pretty badass. Did you see
it? It looked great.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
The front.
Yeah, and the long jacket. I was like, a military guy. I'm like, that guy looks tough.
Yeah.
I want one of those. That's a pretty cool married in.
I'm happy for them, and I think it's neat. I think she is, is a fresh breath of air into that. Anybody that goes in there and makes them, rethink how stodgy and whatever else there.
Right, then maybe I just don't care.
I don't think you appreciated the subtext.
I just don't care. I don't care.
Should we try to make a phone call? We need to test.
Yeah.
We need to test our phones. Well, the idea is that
who do you want to call?
I don't know.
We can either call your wife or call my wife. It's up to you. All
right, I'll try to call Laura here and see what happens.
All right. There we go. Can she hear both of us?
I hope so. That's the plan.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me, Laura?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, poop.
It doesn't work.
Oh, man.
Here, let's try Cindy.
Well, it's not going to work anyway.
Maybe her phone doesn't work.
No, I think her phone's working, but I just don't understand why
it worked before, though, people. I swear to God it worked. We tried it on our phone.
It did. Let me try it again. See what happens here. If nothing else, I'll just drive her nuts. That's fun in itself.
Hello?
Hi, do you have Prince Albert in the can? Hello?
Hello?
All right. We could do this all day, just drive her crazy.
That's not ready for prime time. All right, I'll work on that.
We'll work on that later.
Oh, God bless her. So, this has been fun. Are you ready for health check?
What's that mean?
It's time for a health check with Andy Chandler.
Oh yeah, go. What happened? How's your hip?
Not good.
Oh no.
I'm in a heap of shit.
Right really?
Now. Yeah. A hip of shit.
there it was.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I regret it. Before
there's one. You got your one per episode. So go ahead. Get it out of your system.
So where were we? Where did we leave off?
Didn't you go get an MRI?
I went to get an MRI on my hip because I've been having terrific pain in my hip.
And you thought it was a nerve sac or something?
Maybe it was bursitis, or something along those lines. Some kind of ligament tear or something like that. Well, turns out I have severe osteoarthritis.
Whoa,
in my right
that's a
hip.
A lot of words. What's that mean?
That means I've got arthritis that's really painful and limits my range of motion in my right hip. And
so is this like a degenerative thing that...
Yep, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, but I mean, is it something that like... You did wrong to have this happen, or is it just just happens?
No, I mean there may have been injury in the past, but it's just genetic thing more than anything. And so anyway.
So what's the treatment? Did they discuss that?
Well, it's not just that. It's there's more.
Oh,
I have there's like because of that there's ossification. There's bone that's. Being calcified
bone.
And so forth, so that it limits the range of how the joint can turn in there.
Right.
And because of that, I've torn two labra. My labrum, the posterior and anterior, they're both,
ligaments?
Were torn. Yeah. So they're torn that keep the joint
they,
in
like
place.
Fully ripped apart? Or
no,
are they
well,
just
they're
like...
There's significant tears in them. They're not ripped apart. But I've injured them.
Does this mean they're gonna you go under the knife
to fix that? You need surgery. Yes.
Are they gonna cut in your butt crack or your butt cheek? Probably.
Butt cheek. No.
Yeah, right.
No.
If it's your hip.
No.
Look right here.
No.
Right?
No. No.
Where?
No.
They
go in through the kind of the front side here. The side. You know.
That
more
sounds
the
terrible.
It's not fun. So I talked to my doctor about it. I'm going tomorrow to see.
I'm going in tomorrow to have it done. I was like, geez.
No, going tomorrow.
Give me a little warning on that.
I'm going to go see an orthopedic surgeon and see, have him look
options,
at the MRI and,
right.
and tell me what my prognosis is and so forth. So I don't know yet.
That's always a really good idea, people. I always encourage you to get a second opinion on something because I was at one point in time, had went and got x-rays on my back and had a doctor tell me that I needed surgery and was like really considering doing it. And then I went to another doctor and he told me to go to a physical therapist. He showed me like 10 stretches and I haven't had back pain since.
That's great.
Yeah, so I always encourage people to, especially when it's in something big, you know what I mean? Like if it's something where you might have to get surgery, go get someone else to look at it. Just
oh,
to
totally.
See something
I'm,
else.
Yeah, this is going to be my first opinion. I just asked my PCP, I know this isn't your area of expertise. My guess is this is going to mean physical therapy to put off surgery as long as I can.
Yeah,
and
how much bed downtime would it be?
Well, she said no, that won't be the case. My guess is if you have two labral tears, you'll have to have the surgery sooner rather than later. because they're going to have to fix those. So you might as well just do everything. But it sounds to me like I need a hip replacement.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So...
And to do that, they cut you open a pretty good tear. And they can do it laparoscopically.
Are we talking about putting the new ball in?
Yeah. What they'll do, here's the way those work. You know what they do? They cut a big, well, they can do it laparoscopically. They're like, they'll do two smaller 2 or 3 inch cuts. But I guess the way mostly it goes is they do a big long cut, you know, 6-8 inches or whatever. And they slice you open. They open everything up. They slice the muscles apart and the everything. They get in there.
That just took a dark turn.
Yeah, it's great. Then they saw off the top part of the femur, the top part of your thigh bone.
Yeah.
They just cut it off. Throw that in the trash. And
it's like there's like a can right beside it's got garbage bag. It's actually you don't have garbage bag. It's like a small can with a Target bag.
A soup bone. Like, yeah. Exactly. They throw that just out.
Chuck it in there.
God, I hope they save it for me.
You could probably ask. Oh no, you know what? I don't think they can because it's what do you call it?
Medical waste.
Yes.
Oh man.
Because Owen just got a tooth pulled, and Cindy asked if we could have it. You know, and the doctor was like, I can't, and she was like holding it. She's like, I can't give it to you now because it's medical waste. We have to go like dip it in something that kills every single germ, and then we can give it back. So, I mean, I guess if you want to
maybe
ask them,
I'm not sold to it. I don't Clorox. Need it. At any rate, then they put a rod down in your hollow top of your femur, and they put bolts in that to screws in that to make sure it's, you know, all solid.
Sounds like my work.
And
bench.
Then. They put a cup, you know, a metal dish or whatever in. They either glue it or screw it to.
I screwed.
They glue it and screw it to the hip, and then they put a plastic film in there, like a little plate. And then they put them together again, and so that's your new hip joint, and then they sew everything back up. All of the ligaments and, you know, the muscles and everything, and then they sew your sutures back up. They can, you know, seal your leg back up, and then they send you upstairs to recover. They then, after the anesthesia wears off, they get you up immediately and say, start walking.
Start doing wind sprints.
Go walk down the hallway, and they get you walking around.
Because they don't want it to...
They want things moving, and they want the...
And maybe to see if everything works, because they don't want you to start healing them and be like, oh, we have to go back in.
Yeah, they don't want a complication of, you know, oh my God, we left scissors in there.
Yeah.
so that sounds like that is in my future. Sometime.
Do you think doctors, these guys that do stuff like this, like go get beer and talk about hip replacement the same way we talk about, like, foundations for sheds, like workbench. They're like, yeah. So I sunk a 2-inch anchor down in there, and
yeah, I used a Langstrom 8.5-inch. I remember gangly wrench.
Some of those like surgery tools are crazy. I remember watching. Did you ever watch, like, I love watching like surgery on television. I'm weird because doctors freak me out, but I love watching surgery.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I remember watching one time where they had to cut a rib off, like in half. I forget what they were doing. They might have been doing like open heart surgery or something, but they had to like split. Well, they had this tool that looked like a garlic press, okay, but it had a hole in it, and when you squeezed in, two blades came together and cut the rib right in half, right? Mm. So you slide it over the rib and then squeeze down, and that's where it would cut right there and pop the rib off. And it cost like $5,000, and you could only use it once.
Jesus.
Because the blades were so sharp that once you used it, you couldn't. The reason they had to be so sharp is because if it got like any splinter or anything wrong on that rib, that it would like cut the inside of you when you were.
Well, why couldn't they just replace the blades?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I was watching TV. Maybe that, I don't know, but it was like, I remember thinking is, I'm like, that's like $5,000, and they just used it once and threw it away.
It's ridiculous.
More beer.
Yeah, let me give you a little more.
So that sucks.
Yeah, so there's that. There's more though.
Oh God.
So I had for the for the past few months, I've been been like three or four times where I've been mostly at rest, but I felt like a tightening in my chest, and I'm like, "What's going on there? That's weird." And I'm just thinking, you know, what is that like? Like a panic attack or something? You know, is it just stress or something that's gotten me? Because it lasted less than a minute, but I'm like, "What the hell?" I've got family history of heart disease, so I finally decide I'm going to go in and get this checked out. Just to, you know, to rule that out.
All right.
And so I go in, I get an EKG, and they're like, EKG's normal. It's totally normal. But you know what? You've got this family history of it and so forth. Let's do a stress test on you.
Dig a little deeper.
Let's see. So on Thursday, I have a stress test. That's where you go in, and they go in with the
walking machine thing?
But first they do a baseline echogram, what do you call it? The
sonar?
So, yeah, not sonar, but...
radar?
No.
I don't know. I use my two DARs. I'm done. Sonar, radar after that.
It's not sonar. It's ultrasound.
Oh.
And they do the ultrasound.
That's sonar. That's sonar.
Is it?
Yeah. Sound navigating. Yeah, sonar. It's just, it's what the.
No.
Yeah, it's the same thing bats use. It bounces sound waves and vibrations off.
Sonar and ultrasound are not the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Sonar, definition.
Well, sonar, one's used on subs.
A system for the detection of objects underwater for measuring water's depth by emitting sound pulses and detecting or measuring their return after being...
It's the same thing. You're sitting sonar. In a sack of water when you're a little baby. It's baby sonar.
If I would have said, hey, how's your sonar working over there?
You'd like go in there like, bing. It's a boy. Yeah.
They would have thought I was an idiot. Anyway, so then you get on the treadmill, and you have to get your heart rate
right.
up past your they compute what your maximum heart rate should
and
be.
It's like it's compared, like it's a different level based on like size and weight and stuff.
It's your size, weight, age, all of those things, and they put in a number of you've got to get it up to 150 or whatever, and then you have to get it up past that. Way past that, so that because they only have like a minute. Because once you're done, you lay back down, and then they check it again, look at your heart again, and see how it's behaving under the stress.
And the whole time they're like waving snakes and screaming at you, trying to scare you.
It's terrifying. and also then when you lay back down, they you're gasping for air, right? You're totally and they're like, okay, hold your breath. Like what? You're like. and you have to hold it for a few seconds.
And you're going
to
have a bum hip, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to be able to do it?
So hold on. They're checking me out, and I already did it. Thursday.
Oh, I thought you said you were doing it this Thursday.
No, I did
it
last Thursday. Yes, I already did it. I'm running.
I thought this is something you were saying you're going to do.
No, I'm running. I'm running with my painful hip and two torn labra.
Oh my god!
I'm running on this.
Are you just sweating like a pig?
I didn't get.
Well, you're an exercise guy though. You do a lot of running.
I'm not in horrible.
Yeah, I'd be sweating like a pig.
But so I do the thing. They say, well, your heart function. Heart's functioning normally for the most part in general, but you're missing heartbeats and you have extra heartbeats. I've got an arrhythmia. So they say, we want you to wear this monitor for 48 hours. So I show up at the Doheny Blues Festival wearing underneath my shirt this heart monitor and so forth, and these electrodes all over me.
Can you see them?
No, you couldn't see them.
I pictured like some life vest that had like all these meters and gauges on it, and you're like walking around blues
like,
traveler, ladies and gentlemen, beep, boop, beep,
looking like Tweaky from Buck Rogers. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, back.
What did that thing always used to say? Didn't say like have some like beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep.
That's
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep. Hey, back.
Yeah, that was the worst robot. It didn't awful. Do anything. It's that just face never moved.
How hot was Erin Gray though?
Oh, she was hot. She was great. I love that show.
Oh my god! And she was then at my voiceover agency. After I think she still is. So when we used to go in, we don't go in anymore. We do everything remotely. But when I used to go into the waiting room and she'd come in, I'm like, that's Erin.
What's better, Buck Rogers or Battlestar? The original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, as far as the TV show, what's better?
Which one did you?
Battlestar Galactica was better, but Buck Rogers.
I think maybe
hotter.
I remember Battlestar. I don't even remember the premise.
The Cylon thing scared the shit out of me.
I know. Yeah. I had a little toy one. It was like one of my first action figures, and I remember always playing with it. But like, when nighttime came away, he kind of went into the other room. Yeah. I didn't want him being in the same room.
Yeah, the red, they were like a
good ripoff of a stormtrooper.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Great.
It's pretty
good. Didn't they have like cool? The Battlestar Galactica had cool spaceships, but what did the bad guys fly? I can't remember. Oh, they were like weird discs.
Yeah, they were flat.
Yeah, like frisbees or something. They were like a bad.
Yeah, but the Battlestar Galactica.
They had three wings.
Yeah, the one on top. And then the two that went out to the bottom on each side. Exactly. And they went through that long chute to launch.
I had this thing, this toy, right? That was like this big flat board, okay? And it was like supposedly the takeoff, the runway, right? And it had two things hooked on rubber bands underneath it with a gun pistol, a handle and a trigger. And you put two of those things on it and you'd like aim them and shoot those things. They were like made of Nerf. Oh, right. It was one of my favorite toys in the world.
I love how easily you're distracted from my acute health history.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Yeah. I forgot. That's all right. So, it just went from one thing to the other. I was like, all of a sudden, I started thinking of Battlestar Galactica, and I was like, wait, that's something we can talk about. All right. So you did your stress test.
So yeah. So.
Oh, you got an arrhythmia.
Yeah. So I go in this week to meet with them again.
So your heart goes. Beep, 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 beep.
That's exactly. It makes like the all, beeps. It actually makes
Well, when you're hooked up to your heart machine. Do you still have it?
No. Well, yeah, it's packaged up to be sent back.
Oh, you have to send it back?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to borrow it for the weekend.
But so anyway, I go in on Tuesday. What probably is going to happen, they'll bring in, what do they call it, an electrocardiologist, an electrophysiologist, an electrician of the heart. Somebody that comes in and says, we are going to shock that or deaden some tissue.
And think they can
or,
get it back into
and,
rhythm?
And try to get it so it works right. Or maybe it's all caused by some blockage somewhere. So they'll do an angiogram.
Jeez,
where they go
Louise.
In, they go in through your veins to the heart and with a camera and they look around and say,
from
oh,
where?
That's,
Where's
that's
the starting point?
Well, they used to only go in through your groin. They go in through the artery there and they go up, you know, over your tummy and into your heart. Now they go in through your wrist.
Oh, that's better.
They just go right through there and they and you're in twilight.
You're out, right?
Twilight.
What's so that mean?
Twilight, it's like the same thing they do for colonoscopy.
So you're like awake, but you're
you're so relaxed and what you know.
Do you remember that?
It depends on how twilighty they get you. It's like I don't remember a moment of the last colonoscopy I had. I was out.
Yeah.
Maybe I said something during it. I don't remember. But I was, as far as I was concerned, right. I don't remember it.
All right.
But like they'll let you watch it if you want to, watch them going in. But I was talking to somebody who just had one not too long ago, and they went in and they're like going through and through the veins. Like, oh, hold it, back up, look back the other way, and they see a blockage, like 92% blockage, and they're like, oh shit, let's get a stent. They'll put a stent in right then
through that tube.
Through the angiogramoscope, and they'll put it in there, and the stent is just a sleeve that it's like Chinese handcuffs.
Is this
in reverse?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes in there and expands.
Chinese handcuffs have come up in this podcast.
I know. It becomes part of your artery then. It stays there. You don't ever take it out.
From blood pressure, maybe?
No, I don't have that high blood pressure.
Okay. Because I do, and I remember them explaining to me what high blood pressure does, and it was like a hardening. If it's unaddressed, then it's like a hardening.
Well,
of the arteries
it's the hardening of the arteries. You know, the you get plaque built up inside the artery wall, and that because it's a you know what happens when you have a hose, and you pinch it off with your thumb, it goes faster, right? So it's the same thing. If you have a smaller opening for blood to go through, then the blood pressure will be higher.
This is the most medical we've ever got.
Isn't it great?
We sound like a couple smart people. Well, you do. I sound like I kind of understand what you're talking about.
Hey, you remember that movie Outland from space with...
Yeah, anyway, let's talk about Battlestar Galactica.
That's all. That's
so.
And this has been Health Check with Andy Chan.
Wow. Well, so, you know, I wish you luck.
Yeah, I'm hoping I don't have to, but I know
you'll
I have,
be all right.
I have to get the hip.
You
thing.
Got it. Yeah.
It's gonna.
You know
suck.
What? You totally. You need to get your hip ball. That'd be, please.
Cut a ball in Vicksburg.
Is it would it be the single coolest paperweight of all time? Just have it sitting on.
Oh
your
yeah,
desk.
Get the bone.
Yeah. Just sit around. You know, people are over for a drink, put it on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Some of the conversations are, that's
people
my hip.
Can't. People can't say I'm not hip.
Yep. Hey, that's one over the limit.
Oh.
Are you got any vegetables coming in?
We just got our first ones this morning.
So we got ours yesterday.
Nice. Well, I guess I would have been here yesterday. I would have seen. I picked a zucchini.
Well, why? If I'd have been here 2 days ago, it's ours.
A 6-inch zucchini.
Oh, no. I mean, you're fully, like, you're ready to eat? Or
there's one that, yeah, I picked
oh,
it.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just saying, we got ours are first just starting to sprout.
Oh, God. I have sprouts on, fruit on everything.
Oh, no. We just got our first two strawberries.
I just picked a, like, a 6-inch zucchini.
Yeah.
And oh, got.
Did you eat it yet?
Not yet. Got the first tomato. Little tiny tomato. It's they're so impossibly small. Here, let me show you a picture of how big they are. I took it next to a nickel so you can see the comparison.
Oh, no, that's the zucchini. I thought you were talking about. Oh, that's the tomato?
The tomato.
I thought that was like a penny.
The tomato is like half the width of a nickel.
It's. Yeah, it's smaller than a dime. It's
super tiny. They're called spoon tomatoes.
Did you eat it?
The kids split it.
And what they have for dessert. Yeah. There you go, kids. How was your meal?
So, had that. Now, there are on some bigger tomatoes on the bigger plants. Uh-huh. Those are they're called spoon tomatoes. They're little cherry tomatoes. But on the bigger plant, I've got a bigger tomato that's about the size of a, I don't know, halfway between a
silly
golf
putty.
Ball and a...
A ball of silly
and a tennis ball. And it's... it's starting to turn, so I'm excited.
Starting to turn what?
Red.
Oh, I thought you meant
turning bad. To ripen.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Turn bad.
No.
Pick it.
No, not turn red.
No, we got two strawberries. Owen's pretty excited about that, and he's nice. Officially handed over.
Are they green still, or are they turning red?
No, they're red.
Nice.
Yeah, he's officially handed over the watering duties to me. He said it's okay if I wanted to do it without him from now on.
Oh, but like, he had to be there every time?
Oh, every time he had to do it. And I'm like, hey, I want to go water those. He's like, I'm like, hey, let's go water the vegetables. It's 6 o'clock. He's like, it's okay if you do it, Daddy. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm like, oh, thanks. many years of that to come, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why. Do you have a dog?
We did.
Still?
No, now we got a hamster.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well,
Hammy.
Hamster is much better to clean up after than a dog.
Yeah,
the kids can have a dog when that boy can work himself a shovel.
That's the thing is we went back and forth. Like I would love another dog, but I'm the only one that walks his ass, and I'm the only one that takes him out to take a pee and poo, and you know I'm the one that takes him to the vet. Nobody else does it. I'm just like, I don't have the patience for this. Last time we had a dog, I trained him like a cat, and he pooped in a litter box.
What?
And peed in a
Who
litter box.
Who does that?
Me. I did it. I did it. We had a dog named Jimmy, after Jimmy Page, and I taught him how to poop and pee in a cat box.
If you ever meet Jimmy Page, I hope you tell him that story.
I already met Jimmy Page.
Did you tell him that story?
No, I couldn't.
I named a dog after
you. I was completely like, so me, Mikey, and Uncle Joe went up to meet Jimmy Page.
You went along? Okay.
Yeah, and do an interview. I was the photographer. Because I was like Joe, because the rumors had been swirling that Joe was going to go, you know, meet Jimmy Page, and I just pulled Joe aside and said, "If this happens, I am going with you." I'm like, I don't care what needs to happen. There's one musician in my life that I have to meet besides Paul McCartney would be, Jimmy Page. And we get there, and he's like, "All right, you're the photographer." So they give me a camera. I barely even know how to use it, and we go up to one of the, I forget which hotel it was. It was one of the hotels on the strip. And we're waiting outside, and they basically took this small bar and just shut it down, and that was going to be where everybody was going to interview. So,
because right.
It wasn't just us. Like, KLOS was there. Everybody had, like...
It was at the Four Seasons, wasn't it?
What's the one that has the...
That's the one on the Morrison...
What's the one that has the photo gallery? Morrison... The Jim Morrison or the Morrison something photograph, whatever.
Know.
Anyway, so they had this small one room bar, and it was shut down, and closed door, bodyguard in front of it, and we're sitting there waiting outside. And oh, it was when Jimmy Page came out with that 50th anniversary, that book that he did. He only printed like 10,000 copies or something of it, and it was a limited edition. It was like $200. He was doing promo for that. Right. Anyway, we get there, and I'm sitting outside. Me, Joe, and Mike, you're sitting outside. And sure enough, all of a sudden, the door just opens up, and Jimmy Page just comes walking out. And I'm like, I completely caught off guard. I thought we were going to be like let in. He was going to be sitting there.
Let in.
And he comes walking out, and I just look right up at him, and he's walking right at me, and I'm like, all I can think is, I'm like, I'm never going to get this opportunity again in my lifetime. I have to take this shot.
I threw my camera at him.
So I look up, and he looks me right in the eye, and I put my hand out, went, "Hi, I'm Josh." And he goes, "Hi, Josh, I'm Jimmy, nice to meet you." And he shook my hand, and I went, "Nice to meet you." And then he just kept on walking. I was like, Holy shit. I just shook Jimmy Page's hand, and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. So then I'm sure he was going to have a cig, right? Because he smokes like 10 packs a day. And we go walking in and start setting up. I'm like tremor. I'm like shaking, like holy shit. I met my idol. The reason I listen to music, I met him. And we're in there, and Mikey's setting up his little recording device. Joe's kind of sitting over there, and I'm just like standing there with the camera. 5 minutes later, Jimmy Page comes walking right back in. And I'm just again immediately like, and I'm like,
"Hi, I'm Josh."
So I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I'm like, I already got my time to shine. I'm like, I fucking met Jimmy Page and shook his hand. And he goes, and Uncle Joe goes, "Hey, Jimmy," I think he talked to him before, so sure, they had a little bit of something in common. Right. He's like, "Oh, I'm Uncle Joe. This is Mikey." And he's like, "Oh, Mikey." And he goes, "And this is Josh." And he goes, "Oh, I already met Josh." And I'm like, "Oh." And Joe goes, "Oh, I guess he can stay then." And Jimmy Page goes, "Well, I don't know about that." And then we all started laughing. I'm like, "Jimmy Page made a joke about me. Jimmy Page made a joke about me." So then I go go into the background, right? Because he has like two handlers.
Right.
And the handler, the first one was like, and when I told him what I was doing, he's like, "That's cool. He's like, don't take too many pictures." He gets kind of annoyed if you're just surrounding him taking pictures the whole time. I'm like, "All right, cool. I'll just take like 10 and be cool, sneaky about it so I'm not always in the background." So I start taking pictures, and I look over, and from this one angle, I didn't notice at first, right? If I'm looking straight on with Joe and Mikey to their backs to me, and he's sitting on this couch, I look in the corner to the left of him. Mm-hmm. Is a picture of Jimmy Page playing the
guitar.
Yeah, the
double
Gibson,
neck guitar.
Double neck Gibson. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I got to get a picture of Jimmy Page sitting underneath a picture of Jimmy Page." So I creep around, I start taking pictures. They do the interview. He says bye. He says bye, Josh, and shakes my hand again. I'm just like, this is insane. Okay. So then as we're all leaving, I'm the last one to walk out, and I look down, and I see Jimmy Page's glass of water. And I'm totally thinking to myself, I could take Jimmy Page's DNA and always have Jimmy Page drank from, I can own this. And I had to stop myself. I'm like, "No, I can't do it. Like, somebody will catch me and I'll have to explain that I'm stealing Jimmy Page's water." So then he left and we walked out. I swear to God, I parked on Sunset Boulevard. And I walked up to my car to leave, and I hadn't had that big of a smile on my face since my kid was born. I was just like, this is the greatest, second greatest day of my life. Third greatest day of my life. And I'm just ear to ear, just grin, shit-eating grin, like, holy crap, I met my idol. Get in my car, start the car. I shit you not. Black Dog starts playing on 100.3 The Sound, and I was like, yes, amazing. It couldn't have been better. I couldn't wait to get back to the station and just tell everybody what happened.
That's great.
So that was my Jimmy Page story.
That's nice.
And you know what, one of the things I was scared about, I had to go because I had to meet him, but one of the things I was scared about was I was worried that he was going to be a dick.
Right. And I was be like, careful meeting your idol.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to be this guy has been held in such high regard to me for so long, which is terrible because he's probably not that great of a guy. But just his musicianship and everything has inspired so much of the reason I played music. Yeah. And then to meet him and have him be a jerk or something would just be like,
right.
right. This is the worst. I wish it never happened. But he was a sweetheart. He was super nice. Joe did an amazing job keeping him engaged, and he was like super. He was interested in talking to Joe. It seemed like Joe brought the good questions. He could tell that he knew what he was talking about. So he was like
Joe really... literally wrote the book on rock and roll.
Yeah,
he wrote a couple of them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's like I remember when Steve Perry, not Steve Perry, Joe Perry. Came in from Aerosmith. Came in one time.
Great chest.
Came in.
Remember what he was wearing? Yeah. His chest was awesome.
He came in and he's like, some topic came up. He's like, well, I don't know. I always look at your book to find out the answers.
Really?
Yeah. It's,
he
you know.
Did. He did. He was doing an interview with I think Jackson Browne, and he brought up about how Stevie Ray Vaughan borrowed one of Jackson Browne's.
The studio for his first album.
Well, and he borrowed one of his Fender Twins to use on a certain song.
Oh.
And Jackson Brown was like, really? And Joe was like, yeah. And he goes, I remember that amp. I didn't know he used it on that song. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I don't know why Jackson Brown has an English accent when I'm imitating him. But yeah.
I'm from Fulham.
But he had to had to tell Jackson Brown that his amp was used on by Stevie Ray Vaughan on a certain song. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Hey, let's try calling Laura again.
All right.
Let's see if I fixed the problem here.
Oh, you did something different?
And we'll see. Trying to test the phones here.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
If you can hear us, say, there you go.
Can you hear me?
We did it.
That's fantastic. I troubleshot it. Troubleshooted?
Troubleshat it?
Trouble. Hey, Laura.
Yes.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
The most famous?
Besides me.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, living in LA, obviously you have so many celeb sightings, but actually met.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about who were you most starstruck to meet?
Well, she was pretty starstruck to meet.
I know.
90210.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Luke Perry. It's gotta be Luke Perry.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And he came in to Mark in the Morning.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a great picture of that.
He did not even want to give me the time of day, but he was obsessed with Vivian. She was a baby at the time, and he took her right out of my arms and was all about her, and I never wanted to wash her again. Kissing her head and stuff.
You know, I had a friend that he got in a car accident with him one time.
Really?
Yeah. On Rossmore and Sixth, right at that intersection. He rear-ended him.
Wow.
It's like, I get out of my car and it's Luke Perry and I'm exchanging insurance information with him.
Well, we wanted to test the phone line so I know that I could do interviews and so forth. This is amazing. Yeah. Now, I can call you at any point if there's ever a question.
Yes.
And pester you during the podcast. Isn't that great news?
That's great news. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the royal wedding?
Oh, my gosh. I, I don't get that into the royal stuff, but I did live in England, and Harry's always been my favorite because he's the cheeky one, and he's just awesome. And then Meghan is beautiful. She's from Los Angeles, and she's American, and it was they're amazing.
Can I ask you a quick question? How did you feel about the Queen's outfit?
The lime green and the purple? Fantastic!
You thought it was fantastic?
Yes!
She looked like Kermit.
She took a risk. She's a 90-year-old queen.
Yeah, that's
She didn't play it safe. I thought it was pretty cool. And it looked good with her purple jag, getting into her purple jag afterwards.
We were talking about this last night. Now, Prince Charles is going to become King Charles sometime soon.
King Chuck.
Yeah.
And is he going to keep? You think he's going to keep the name Charles? He's going to ascend to the throne? Because sometimes
you get to change your name.
Sometimes they change their names. Like Edward. Edward's name wasn't Edward, was it?
Yeah, but that's old school. I mean, Elizabeth didn't change her name. She was born Elizabeth. I don't think they do that anymore.
So who's the older one, Harry? No.
No. William's the William. Older. Harry. So then
we'll eventually, when Charles dies, we'll have a King William.
We'll have a King William. And Harry will never be king, unfortunately.
Well, unless everybody dies.
Well, no.
Well, yeah. he would have, he's sixth in line, so there would have to be some big tragedy for him to ever become king.
So,
but
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Do you now? Are you going to go out and buy a fascinator?
I don't think I'm going to buy a fascinator.
Do you know what a fascinator is?
I have no idea what that. What's a fascinator?
It's one of those. You'll see them at the Kentucky Derby too. It's one of those weird hats. They look like a Robin Hood hat with feathers and shit coming out of them. It's not like a proper hat. It's just this
decorative
bullshit
hat.
Yeah, that has stuff pluming out of it. Is that accurate?
Yes, and one of the commentators said yesterday, Andy only knows this because I made him watch E! All of the One of the commentators said that the embellishment on top has to be at least 10 centimeters or it's considered rude. It's especially funny because if you've ever given birth, 10 centimeters has a totally different meaning.
Just hearing that fact, was that worth watching? What the whole thing was just so you can hear that and just start laughing.
Sweetie, that's not going to get any better than that. Thank you for giving us a few moments of your time. This has been Royal Watch with Laura Chandley.
God bless the queen.
Bye bye.
Talk to you
bye.
Later.
God bless the queen. That works, people.
It works. That worked pretty good.
You know what?
We can make phone calls now.
And here's what we're gonna do. I'll tell you what I want you to do.
What?
Not sound listeners, yaffers. If you want us to call you, email me your phone number.
Oh, God.
You can reach me at Joshua J. Fligger. At gmail.com. Send me your phone number and tell me what you want to talk about. And I'm not saying we're going to do it. Maybe we'll do it. Well, I don't know, but
now
we have the possibility to do it.
It's possible that we could do it.
If there's something you want us to talk to you about, shoot me an email.
Or you've got a great story to tell.
Yeah.
This has just opened up a world of possibilities.
I know. I got a whole bunch of emails just the other day. I got a couple good suggestions for beer. Oh, so was it the last episode where we drank the tomato beer?
Yeah.
All right. So this gentleman wrote me, David Flournoy. Is that how you'd say that? Flournoy?
Flournoy. Yeah.
He says, the best beer cocktail is a Bompton Buller.
A what?
Bompton, B-O-M-P-T-O-N, Buller, B-O-O-L-E-R.
Buller. Bompton Buller.
Bompton Buller. You take some malt liquor.
Oh, God.
Right?
Talking about a headache.
And a bottle of Cactus Cooler. Oh. God, that sounds so bad. Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one.
Cactus Cooler. Is that like is Cactus Cooler like a Mellow Yellow?
No, it's a squirt? Pineapple soda.
It is?
Yeah.
Wait, why is Cactus Cooler pineapple?
I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think it's pineapple. Yeah, remember Jackie Jackie
Delgado?
She drank one. I never had one before, and she made me go downstairs and buy one because I told her I had never had it. She's like, they're really good. And I remember it being
that
like a pineapple.
Some circus peanuts?
Yeah. Don't get me started on that.
A Cactus Cooler. Why is a Cactus Cooler flavored like a pineapple? It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Let me think about that. Give me a week. I'll research out the Cactus Cooler. But yeah, keep the emails coming in. I got another guy who wrote, I'm not going to read an email because it's pretty gross. But he wrote about how he got stitches and he basically cut his leg with a power saw.
Oh, God.
A circular saw with a broken blade guard and he dropped it on his leg. And just reading that email, chills up my spine. But
yeah, don't do that today.
Yeah, that was, I'll get his name.
Please don't go to the hospital today.
That was from Ryan Dyson. Good story.
Ah. Yeah, be careful today when you're building your workbench.
Don't tell me what to do.
I'm so glad you stopped by, Josh.
I had a good time.
How can people get a hold of you?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
Sweet. Oh, I joined Instagram this last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm on Instagram now. Look for DJ Andy Chandley on Instagram.
Nice.
I'm on it finally. I've decided to take the plunge.
What was your first picture?
Of
your lunch?
No. I put up my profile picture.
Yeah, well, what was the first picture?
After that was a picture of me and Charlie Musselwhite and Ben Harper.
Oh, good. How many pictures you got so far? You using a lot?
No.
Okay.
Just put up one last night of me and George Thurgood.
Oh.
Talking to him backstage.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've got three up so far. I'm just learning. You know, there's a little learning curve for Instagram.
Is there?
Yeah. There's a,
I don't think I want to learn
it. It's a little different. I didn't either. I still don't, but yeah. I feel like I kind of have to.
Are you, did you like... tie it in with your Facebook account too, because I think you can do that where if yeah. you like post something on Instagram yeah. it automatically goes
yeah,
to
yeah you can and everything it's I no yeah, I haven't yet it. It's, right. it's just yeah god
just
I
too much it. Bullshit
yeah, this shit I never had to deal with before but I'll figure it all out.
All right,
so hopefully we get Sam and Larry yeah. back again. I think they're still alive.
I miss the guys.
I know, me too. I
haven't seen them in a while.
It'd be great to get all four
of us
together. I saw
Sam build another
again.
Fence. Sam built a fence.
What?
Yes.
He's a, well, that's why he can't do this. He's too busy building fences.
I know.
We have to get all four of us together again sometime.
Definitely.
It's been too Definitely. Long. All right, people. Thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you sometime.
I'm
going to
go
soon.
Work on my tool bench.
Yeah. Go do.
This will be the last. This will be the last we talk about.
You're done, or is it going to be just naked?
No, it's just going to be naked. I'm not. I thought about staining it, but it's not. I don't. It's
paint.
Yeah,
naked.
Yeah, I don't.
You gotta keep it naked.
Yeah,
naked.
It's not supposed to be pretty. You
it's
know what
not.
I mean? I just want a tool bench. It's not going to be outside, so it's not going to be getting super like in the you know moisture or anything.
I've got an idea for you. Are you going to have pegboard on it?
Yes, I already bought the pegboard, too.
You got pegboard. Yep. Okay. Well, you know what my dad did?
Just paint the thing?
There was a ledge. Like he had a shelf, and underneath the shelves, he took like ball jars or
I already got three of them saved up.
So you can screw them into
yep,
there.
Yep, my and, dad did the same thing yeah. with Jif jars.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can put nails and screws and stuff in there.
I already got two pickle jars and one. Oh, you know what off topic. You know what I had for the first time this week that was amazing?
What?
Pickled okra.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever had pickled okra?
I
am in love. It's like a
Okra's
whole new ball.
Okra's fun. I like okra.
I love her show. Anyway, go ahead.
Okra.
A car for you. A car for you. A car for you.
Okra Winfrey. When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. Shut up. Pickle your okra.
Promise?